Turn to Acts chapter 4. I want to give you all an invitation for tomorrow night. You guys can come back tomorrow night because I'm going to preach on the virtuous woman, just to let you know, so you'll know if you want to miss that night, you'll know which night to miss. It wasn't because of Trini begging me to preach, you know, on women submitting themselves to their husbands. That wasn't the reason why. I'm sorry. I did it again, you know. She says, you're ruining my reputation, you know. I'm sorry, Lupe. That really wasn't the reason. He did tell me that, but that's not the reason. I'm going to preach on the virtuous woman. You know, there's like a conspiracy going on in the world today, a conspiracy by the stupid, sinful nature of humanity and prosperity, and I believe it's even devilish. All the lies and the brainwashing. If you've got a TV, you've been brainwashed, and you've been taught what a woman is supposed to be. But, you know, the Bible has a different viewpoint. The Bible's got its own teachings, its own doctrines, and I personally believe God was wiser than all men put together long before He ever put them together. God is wiser, and God's got His ways of doing things, and I'm not going to tell you my opinion tomorrow night. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says about a virtuous woman. You know, it's high time we praise virtuous women. Their price is far above rubies. So tomorrow night you come if you're interested in that, and if you're not interested, come anyway. And if I offend you, I'm sorry. I'll do it as delicately as possible. Tuesday night, I'm going to preach on men. And that wasn't Lupe that told me to preach on men. That was Terry. She said, preach on men, please. You know, the Bible has a standard of manliness.
Amen.
And that standard has gone to pot in our generation. People don't know the difference between men and women. They don't understand what manliness is. Well, the Bible's going to give you a few clues, and that'll be on Tuesday night. Tonight, it's a grab bag. You guys just come on, and if I told you what I was going to preach on, you probably wouldn't show up, so you come and just find out what I'm going to preach on tonight. I said Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to emphasize just those last four words. We must be saved. We must be saved. I want you to notice that the Bible here, Peter speaking to a group of people who are so full of themselves, so self-absorbed, so self-important that they cannot imagine why they must be saved. They personally thought that just because they were born out of Abraham, that they automatically were involved. They automatically were included. And how many times did God have to send a prophet saying, you're not? John the Baptist came and said, I don't care if you were born of Abraham. God is able to raise up from these stones children of Abraham. It didn't matter. And then Peter comes along after Jesus preached the same thing. Peter comes along and says, we must be saved. And he's preaching to Jews saying, you must be saved. You must be saved. You know, he did not say, you need to be changed, or you need to be improved. He said you needed to be saved. You don't need to be better. You need to be saved.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing how when you say that to somebody, you say, listen, you know, you need to be saved. And they say, saved from what? Have you ever heard that? I've heard that I don't know how many times. Saved? What do you mean saved? Saved from what? What's the problem? You know, he didn't say God loves you and is knocking on the door of your heart and he just wants to fill up. He didn't say he wants to give you a wonderful plan for your life. He said you need to be saved.
Amen.
You don't need a better plan for your life. You don't need somebody mysteriously living inside of you. You need to be saved.
Amen.
That's the first and foremost, the one big step that you've got to make. You need to be saved. This is what Peter said to these Jews who thought they were plenty religious. He didn't say you need to get religion. He didn't even say you need a born-again experience. He said you need to be saved. You know, the whole world thinks that religion's fine. I heard on the radio this morning some secular person talking about the problems in society today, and they said, you know, we need more religion in life. We need more religion. We need faith back in our systems. Faith, religion. Don't you understand? We don't need more religion. We need to be saved.
Amen.
The world needs to be saved. It's in a bad situation. And then somebody has the gall to ask, saved from what? Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Something is missing. Saved from what? Come on. Think it over, people.
We're in a bad situation, in a bad way. Did you know that people have a perception of themselves as strong? That's why you can come up with these hokey movies like Armageddon, where the world saves itself from an asteroid the size of Texas. That is the stupidest plot that you've ever heard. Humans cannot save themselves. You know, I was reading a book called The Creator and the Cosmos. This man is not a Bible-believing fundamentalist, but he obviously believes in a God. He was listing out in this book, he listed out hundreds, literally hundreds of different criteria that prove that this world was created. And listing out these criteria, he showed how many things there were that if they changed just a little bit, life would be impossible. I mean, if the day was just a little bit shorter, the winters would be too cold, the nights would be too cold, the days would be too hot. He showed if the earth was just a certain percentage closer to the sun, life would be impossible on this earth. The polar caps would melt every winter, every summer, and flood the earth. That life would be impossible. It would be too hot. It would be too cold. It would be too difficult. If there was just a little bit more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, if there was just a little bit more or less ozone, if there was a little bit, no, he listed all kinds, literally hundreds of different criteria. If there was just change just a little bit. We live on a delicate flower, this earth, that is kept alive by the power of God.
Amen.
And yet men have this idea that this is just one great big cosmic accident that happened, and aren't we fortunate that we landed on this place with this much water? Or with this much sunlight? Just this exact distance from the earth? That if the moon was a little bit closer, it wouldn't be possible. This wouldn't be possible. That wouldn't be possible. He shows it right down the line. We live on a delicate ecosystem that anything changes the balance and this planet turns into a brown, dead planet. And yet people have the idea that we're strong and we can save ourselves. We can take care of ourselves. Let me tell you something, that's not true. You can't save yourself. You can't take care of yourself. You're in a bad situation. People have the idea that they're strong, that they're self-sufficient. People feel like they're independent. How many people do you know feel like they're making their own decisions? Boy, don't you know anything? You're not making your own decisions. You've been guided and brainwashed since the time you were born. You have been led and taught lies since the time you were born. And I'm telling you, in school they'll tell you lies, just like they'll tell you lies out on in the workplace, and you're being fed lies every single day by the newspaper and the news media, and they'll tell you that these things are true, but you're just believing it and swallowing all up, and you think you're a free thinker. You think independently, right? That's the way the world has the perception of themselves. But it's not true. It's not true. Have you ever heard of people talk about rights? We have rights. We as humans have rights. What rights do you have? Do you understand what you're talking about? You're talking about you are just a creature put on this earth, a slave, a prisoner on this. You think you're free, don't you? You think you're free? You're not. You say, I'm not behind bars. Yes, you are. You're behind bars. You are stuck on this earth. You can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. Don't you believe all this nonsense about somebody colonizing Mars. You can't make Mars a livable planet. You can't colonize Mars. You can't save yourself. You can't be free. You're stuck on this earth and you're stuck in that body. You can't leave it. Don't believe the psychics who say they leave their body all the time. They don't. They're stuck in that body. They are prisoners, every single one of us. And yet we don't think of ourselves as prisoners. There has been a serious lie foisted upon all people nowadays who make themselves think that they are free, that they are strong, that they are self-sufficient, that they are capable, that they are intelligent, that they think their own thoughts. But it's not true. I'm going to show you what you need to be saved from. I'm just going to show you by the Bible what the Bible tells you. And I know that you'll see this is true. What I'm telling you is true. You'll see it. You need to be saved from this world. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. You know, now, I don't know, some people perhaps think that this world is their ship and that's what, you know, this is their garden or whatever it is. But the fact is, this world is a very dangerous place. This world is a very dangerous place. Even barring asteroids coming from outer space, this world's a dangerous place. Every time I drive by my house and I see all the different people that live in my neighborhood, let me tell you something, I know this place is a dangerous place. Did you know you're in danger? Every time you go home, you're in danger. I just saw on the news yesterday, or maybe it was the day before yesterday, some little girl missing. Been missing for 2 weeks. What happened to poor little girl? Well, let me tell you something. It happens way too often. Anyway, it happens. You can see this all the time. All the time. Somebody, that girl was probably, I mean, I'm not going to say it because it might hurt somebody's feelings or somebody might get their, lose their hope. I don't know. But it happens all the time. Some little girl kidnapped, raped, tortured, and murdered, strangled, and cut up into pieces and buried all the time, every single day. And you say, what do we have to be afraid of? Why do we need to be saved? Let me tell you something. This world is a dangerous place. You know what the number one death rate, you know what causes more death in people under 21 than anything else? Murder. More people die, more young people die murdered than any other way. Used to be suicide. Now it's murder. This world's a dangerous place. Man, I mean, if they're not talking about asteroids from outer space, they're talking about AIDS. They're talking about epidemics. They're talking about famine. They're talking about all kinds of different things. How about war? I'm telling you, there's 75 different major wars going on right now in this earth. You know, you say, well, now we finally defeated the Russians and now we're safe. No, you're just as dangerous as you ever were, if not more dangerous now. There's another reason why you need to be saved from this world. This world is headed to destruction. They'll tell you all the time. And I mean, even if God doesn't interfere, and God will interfere, but God, if He did not interfere, everybody can point it out to you, this world is headed for destruction. The world is headed for destruction. I mean, before it was the Russians and the Americans, and they got so many nuclear warheads that they can wipe out the earth 75 times each. That's the way it used to be. But let me tell you something, if it's not that, they talk about ozone, and if you use your refrigerator too much, that you're going to wipe out the earth that way, or we're going to go into a nuclear winter because this thing is going to happen, and that thing is going to happen, and earthquakes are increasing, and if this goes according to what we project, and the global warming, and this thing, and the other thing, and we're running out of fresh water, and I mean the earth is cooling, and the earth is... Yeah. Let me tell you something, the world is going to destruction, even without God's interference. But let me tell you something else. This world is going to destruction because it has lifted itself up against God. You know, I'll tell you one good reason why you young people shouldn't be in gangs. Because gangs have enemies. And if you're in those gangs, you're going to have enemies. You know, you ought to know who to get away from. You ought to know who to walk away from. You ought to know not to be around drunks. You ask any policeman in this room, and there's probably several here, you ask them where people get killed. They get killed in bars. They get killed by drunks. They get killed by people hanging around the wrong people. Let me tell you something. You're in a world that has lifted itself up against God. What, do you have any question about that? And yet then an apostle such as Peter stands up and says, you need to be saved. And you say, saved from what? Saved from what? I don't understand. What do I have to be saved from? I'm telling you, just the fact that you're in this world, you have lifted yourself up against God in this world just by being here and thinking their thoughts and walking down their path. You say, no, I just don't believe God's like that. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read about Noah and the ark? You say, well, I just don't believe those things. See, there's your problem. You've lifted yourself up against God. Have you ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Have you ever heard of the destruction prophesied against Tyre and Sidon? And where are they today? Let me tell you something. If you lift yourself up against God, you put yourself in a very dangerous place. And the world has done it. You know, this world easily could destroy itself. This world could destroy itself, yes, with their bombs, and yes, with their contamination, and yes, with all that stuff, but God's not going to let it. You see, because that wouldn't be just. God is not interested in consequences just taking their toll. Yeah, there's plenty of consequences going around, but God is interested in judgment. Amen. Boy, you read the Bible, what the Bible has to say about judgment. God is interested in judgment. Amen. You see, it's just not enough for somebody just to go off and die. I mean, I know Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that that's all it takes. You know, God is just satisfied if somebody just goes off and dies. And I'm telling you, I know that there are some people who just live their lives in unbelief but haven't done any major sins. And there are other people like Hitler that have killed I don't know how many people and other people that have done such terribly gross crimes. And yet they both just go off and die and that's enough. Does that make sense to you? No, let me tell you something. God is a God of judgment.
Amen.
God knows how to mete out judgment according to what you've done, according to what you've thought, according to what your ambitions were, according to all the damage you caused. God can judge righteously.
Amen.
And He will judge. He will not let this world end by itself. He's promised to judge the world in righteousness. Well, so you say, well, you know, okay, I see that. Yeah, we're in a dangerous place. Did you know you also need to be saved from ignorance? Ignorance. In other words, you were born stupid and you're still stupid. You say, no, I don't think so. I think we're intelligent. Oh man, I'm telling you, you talk about the most intelligent people. I have enjoyed reading a whole bunch of different theories nowadays put out by scientists. It's almost funny. You see, because scientists nowadays have gone to the extreme of saying we don't believe in the supernatural. And they will chuckle, choke, and spit if you talk about, you know, God creating this or God doing this. They can't take talking about the supernatural. So they come up with other theories. They've come up with theories that are so, they say that the entire universe was compressed. I mean, I'm talking about all the stars, all the galaxies, all the gases, all the helium and all the hydrogen, all of the great big galaxies were all compressed into a microscopic point. And they chuckle and choke when we say God created it. All of that smashed into a little point. How did it get into a little point? That doesn't make sense. You know, okay, maybe it's true. Maybe they're right. I don't know. Maybe God did it that way. I don't know. I can't say that it's true or not, but I can say it doesn't make any more sense that way than saying God created it. Amen. Do you know what they'll tell you? That the atom is made out of electrons and protons and neutrons, and that the electron is made out of, I don't know, quarks and leptons and who knows what else. And they say all these little bitty particles, do you know something about them? They say they become nothing and they appear out of nothing thousands of times every second. That's the only way they can explain what happens in the interior of an atom. That they poof out of nothing and become, and then thousands of times a second, poof, and they're gone again. And they choke when we say God created the earth? No, there's something wrong with people. People were born stupid and they're still stupid. There's a problem with people and their ignorance. I don't understand how people can think that. I mean, sure, maybe it's true. I don't know. Maybe they finally discovered that God is creating all these things. And I don't really know. I think they're probably going to change their tune. I mean, I read this one thing trying to explain this called quantum mechanics. And it says that in the subatomic world, this is a whole different world, supposedly. In the subatomic world, if you had a marble and you let it fall down in a bowl, it would roll down the bowl and roll right up out of the other bowl, out of the other side of the bowl. I don't know. I can't tell you that's true or not. I can tell you it doesn't make any sense to me. And you know, it's fine if you want to say that that's the only way that this thing could actually happen. But then don't chuckle when we say God created it out of His wisdom and He stretched it out by His hand. No, that's silly. People have gotten so intelligent they've become stupid. He says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen. I mean, maybe so. Maybe you know something that I don't know. Maybe you're more educated than I am. That's fine with me. Let me tell you something. It's not ignorance when we say God created this earth. Amen. Obviously, God created it. I mean, everybody knew it from the start. Just because you've gotten so wise that you've decided to deny it, don't act like you're intelligent. He takes the wise in their own craftiness, he says. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. That's what he says. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus said, having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? He says people are so stupid, people are so foolish, people are so dumb that they have eyes and can't see. They have ears and can't hear, and they can't even remember. They can't remember. Now listen, I understand. I understand that, you know, some people don't have the same intelligence level or intelligence quotient or whatever as other people. Some people are smart and some people are dumb. That's all relatively speaking. You understand? But let me tell you something. Take us all together. Take the wisest of us together. Put us all together. Make us all the same. And let me tell you something. We are all stupid compared to God. We are all foolish compared to even the smallest angel. He says he made men lower than the angels. Lower than the angels. We're not as wise as they are. We're not as powerful as they are. We are the stupid ones. We need to be saved from our stupidity. We need to be saved from our ignorance. Only God can make you wise. Only God can clear your head, can take the cobwebs out of your thinking. Only God can clean up your act and make you think straight. You're not thinking straight yet. We all have to learn our wisdom from God. Otherwise, we're lost. And people have decided that they don't need God to learn all their wisdom and to become wise or to become smart. And so they go on thinking that there are all kinds of explanations of these things without God. Let me tell you something. There are some things cannot be explained without God. Simply cannot be explained without God. Only a fool would deny that. Only a fool. And the wisest of us today are the fools. Because they're denying it. They're saying there are explanations without God. Albert Einstein, they say he's one of the wisest men or the smartest men that ever lived. Whatever, he spent like 30 years trying to prove that God did not exist. He argued with evidence against the steady state theory. The steady state theory meaning that the universe always existed exactly like it is right now. Just galaxies form and die and form and die, and it always existed and it always will exist. And they showed him evidence after evidence. Finally, an astronomer named Hubble brought him over there and pointed it out to him. He had to see it. And even when he saw it, he could not bring himself to believe the God of the Bible. Yes, obviously, this universe had a beginning. Now they say it was all compressed down into a little small point at the beginning. Who knows? I don't know, but I know one thing, that the smartest people ever live can't find God with telescopes that are 20 stories high. They can't find Him. I'm telling you, everywhere you look, you find proofs and demonstrations of God's power, not even His power, but of all His doctrines and who He is and what He wants. You find it all over the place. It's not hard to find God if you'd seek Him. You got to be saved from your ignorance. Look at Psalms 81. 81 verse 12. God says, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels." Do you know God is capable of giving you up to your own heart's lusts and let you just walk in your own counsels? And God has done that to a lot of people. Right now, this day, there are people who are walking in their own counsels, and God's given them up. He says, "Okay, you think you're so smart? You think you're so wise? You actually think that you have the answers or some answers to these things? And you think you don't need my wisdom? You don't think you need to read the Bible and find out what I have to say? That's fine then. Go along in your own way. I'm going to give you up to your own counsels. You're so wise you don't call on God. Someday you're going to call on God and He won't answer." That's what he said. The Bible calls them simple, feeble-minded. Simply put, people are spiritual retards. They cannot understand the spiritual truths that God has placed. That God has put it at our grasp every single where. No matter where you look. I talked to a young man in Morelia, sitting under one of the shade trees there. I preached, then I got done preaching, and I walked over and talked to him, and I said, "Well, what'd you think?" He said, "No, I don't believe any of that." I said, "Well, have you read the Bible?" He said, "No, I don't read the Bible." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because it just doesn't seem to be important." He said, "It doesn't fulfill me." Well, you know, I have a hard time because he had already told me that he was a Darwinist. He believed in evolution and he didn't believe in God. He was an atheist or whatever. I said, "You see this tree here? You're sitting underneath a tree. You see this tree giving you shade? Can you come up with any purpose for it in nature?" He said, "Yes, I can." I said, "Okay, come on, show me. What is the purpose of this tree in nature?" He said, "Well, it gives fruit. It breaks the wind. Yeah, it gives shade. You can get wood from it. You can get paper from it. It houses animals." He had all kinds of different purposes for that tree to exist. And then I, you know, helped him out a little bit and we came up with some more. I mean, it gives rosin, it gives many different minerals. It actually produces rain. There's all kinds of reasons for that tree to exist. Purposes. I said, "Now tell me what." He said, "Well, our purpose is to have children." Now isn't that wise? Our only purpose in nature, our only function in nature, humans, the greatest of God's creation, the only function in nature is to have other little bitty humans equally useless. That's the only reason you have to exist. Can't you take a step of faith and realize by pure sheer understanding that God did not make humans part of nature? He made nature for humans. And He made humans for Him. Amen. To serve a spiritual purpose much beyond nature. This is not difficult to figure out. If you don't belong in nature, then you are not part of nature. God has created you above it. He has created you a spiritual being made in His image to know right from wrong and to be able to choose right from wrong. You can know God, and yet you are so ignorant that you can't see it. Not with a telescope, not with a microscope, not with the Bible open in front of you. You read and you do not understand. People believe that God can't speak. Seriously. People believe that God can, or that there is no God that can speak. Listen to yourself. I can speak. He that made the mouth, can he not speak? He that planted the ear, can he not hear? Come on, tell me, a creator that can make somebody like us can communicate? You're going to tell me he can't communicate? That we can think and reason and judge and make moral judgments and yet God can't? God was wiser than you from the start. He's still wiser than you, and you need to be saved from your own ignorance. Amen. From yourself, you need to be saved. Let me tell you something else. You need to be saved from the devil. That is, you need to be saved from Satan, from the devil. Now, I know some people who are very wise in their own conceits would laugh or scoff at the idea of a devil. I had one fellow tell me, you don't believe in a devil. Sure I do. They asked Billy Sunday one time, do you believe in the devil? He said, I believe in the devil. He says, for two reasons. One, the Bible says so. Two, I've done business with it. Listen, you need to be saved from the devil. You have no idea. I know there are people out there that don't believe that devils exist, that there's no such thing as spirituality or spirits. That's all right. You don't want to believe that. It's just your own ignorance. You need to be saved from your ignorance. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that the devil has us all in his grasp. We are all in his darkness. From the time we are born, we belong to his kingdom. He is over us. The Bible says, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me show you something. Because you want to feel like you're independent, that you're above all these dangers. You want to feel like you're safe. You want to be, I know you want positive thinking. You want somebody to tell you things that'll make you feel good about yourself and things that'll make you feel safe and secure. Let me tell you something. The Bible is not full of positive thinking. It's full of a lot of negative thinking also. Negative thinking that's true. And I think you need to hear the negative thinking, even that's true. Verse 26, 2 Timothy 2, 26 says, verse 25, sorry, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. What, you thought you were a free thinker? You thought you were independent? You thought you were your own man? No, you're just a slave of the devil. He puts thoughts in your mind and you don't even understand where it came from. You don't even know. You say, well, you know, I have this idea that this is my... I've heard so many people talk about their theories, their concepts, as if they're something they came up with. Man, these things, there's nothing new under the sun. These things have been argued, even in the Bible you can find these same arguments. There's nothing new under the sun. You have not come up with these things. I'm telling you, from the start, the devil has you captive anytime he wants. You're a slave of the devil. You cannot defeat him. You cannot get away. The devil keeps you in darkness. Did you know that? The Bible says that the God of this world, little g, God, the God of this world, which is the devil, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, lest it should shine unto them. He's blinded their minds. He keeps them in darkness. Do you know why back in the old days when we had slaves in this country? Do you know why they kept the slaves uneducated? Think about it. Of course you know why. It's a wicked thing. It's a wicked thing. But they kept them in slavery because they kept them uneducated. And that's exactly what the devil is doing to you today. He's keeping you ignorant and in darkness so that you cannot even see the light. He tries to keep you out of the light. He doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel to shine unto you. Why do you think that in Muslim lands they do not allow the gospel to be preached on the street? Because they're cowards. They know they'll lose. They know they'll lose. That's the only way to keep the gospel out. Kill the people that preach it. Why do you think that it's so difficult to preach the gospel in communist China? Because they know better. The devil's not stupid. The best way to keep people in his slavery is to keep the gospel away from them. You're a slave and you didn't even know it. You know another way that the devil doesn't just keep you in darkness. Sometimes the devil just plain keeps you deceived, keeps you confused. You see, the devil's a very religious person. The devil wants to be worshipped. And people are worshiping the devil all the time. Every single day, people are worshiping the devil and not even knowing it. The Bible says so. They bow down to images and they think they're bowing down to God. And the Bible says they're bowing down to devils. Amen. You say that, no, but it's only important what was in their heart. They meant to bow down to God. No, the Bible says they're worshiping devils.
Amen.
You say, no, I just don't think that Judas Thaddeus, the saint of hopeless causes, I just don't think he's the devil. Well, how in the world would you know? You've never seen Saint Judas Thaddeus, the hopeless cause saint. Isn't that stupid? You don't know what he looks like. As far as you know, you're bound down to Judas Iscariot. You don't know. Let me tell you something. The Bible says behind that little saint is the devil. If you had any perception, you'd understand that. You'd walk in there and feel the hair come back up on the back of your neck. You'd feel it. You'd know it. There's the devil. You say, no, well, I just don't buy that. Well, okay, then you're not buying the Bible. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says about religion. It is of the devil. Did you know the devil has doctrines? The Bible says there's doctrines. One of the doctrines is forbidding to marry. The only Christian religion that forbids to marry is the Catholic Church, forbidding their priests, their nuns, their monks to marry. And the Bible says that's a doctrine of devils. The forbidding of meats is a doctrine of devils. This isn't a doctrine that's just been misused. It's not a doctrine of humans, commandments of men. It's a doctrine of devils. Did you know the devil deceives people? You need to be saved from the devil. Do you think you can save yourself? You fool. You're a slave. You couldn't walk away from the devil if you tried. You're a slave. You're a servant of evil. And you don't even realize it? Then you're even more of a slave. There is nobody so blind as one that will not see. There's another thing you need to be saved from. You need to be saved from sin.
Amen.
Somebody said, saved from what? I mean, he's got a cigarette in one hand, he's got a beer in another hand, he is watching a pornographic movie and he says, saved from what? Something is wrong with people. They're not thinking straight. Saved from what? You need to be saved from sin. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. It says, Peter says here, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practice. Cursed children! And he goes on. Did you hear what he said? They cannot cease from sin. They cannot cease from sin. They couldn't quit if they wanted to. He says, I could quit anytime I want. No, you can't. You don't understand. Oh, the guy says, no, you know, I don't have to drink. I don't have to get drunk. I don't have to commit these things. I can quit anytime I want. It's not true. You can't. You young people think, I know you think you're strong. You think you can get into all these vices. You think you can get into drugs. You can get into marijuana. You can quit. It's not addictive, they say. You can get into smoking. You can get into drinking. You say, I can quit anytime I want. It's not true. It's not true. The Bible says you are a slave to your own sin and you cannot cease from sin. You cannot quit it. You can't make up your own mind. You are not strong enough. You say, well, I know some people who have. Well, they have in one area. They haven't in every area. It's not possible. The Bible says they cannot cease from sin. You know something? And somebody honestly can say, saved from what? Every one of us are so full of corruption. We are so full of dreaded corruption. We are so sick. We need to be saved from sin. We were talking about all the different sins that are going on now. You know, I remember when fundamentalist preachers would stand up and preach against gambling. And cards, and dice, and dominoes, and pants on women. I remember it. It was clear. But you know now, any preacher that preaches on that is just missing the point. I mean today, it's the Ten Commandments being broken every day. I'm telling you, you're in danger of being murdered on your own street. Murdered. I'm telling you, there's violence and there's hatred everywhere. Even in your own heart. You don't even realize it. What about adultery and fornication and divorce and broken homes and children abandoned? What about unwed mothers and AIDS and every single venereal disease? And I'm telling you, every type of perversion that's out there, let me tell you something, it's even in your heart. You have to be saved from your sin. You can't cleanse your mind. I don't know how many times I said, oh God, cleanse my mind. My mind is filthy. I want it clean. I can't cleanse it. I can't cleanse it. You need to be saved from your sin. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 24. I'm telling you, the Ten Commandments are now exactly what we need to be preaching everywhere.
Right.
It's the Ten Commandments. They're breaking the very basic laws of decency and order and humanness. Breaking every basic concept that we have understood as righteousness and right living and uprightness. I'm telling you, if it's not lying and stealing, have you ever talked to a salesman? Don't you ever get tired of being lied to? Oh, I can't stand salesmen to come to me and tell me all these things. Just don't tell me anything. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be lied to. Lying, stealing. What about covetousness? Have you ever thought about all the lawsuits that are today? You know, they honestly think, you know, the Bible, even in the Old Testament, there you are in Deuteronomy. There it says, you ought to put a battlement on your roof in case somebody falls off of it. You are responsible. But you know something? Nowadays, they have mixed up those laws because judges are so skewed. They're so misunderstanding of what's important and what's not that they actually think that the law to put battlements on your roof to protect your neighbors so they don't fall off and hurt themselves, and they think that that's a more important commandment than greed. When the Bible says, thou shalt not covet, and yet what is happening nowadays? You're afraid to let somebody even into your yard. Because if they fall down, they're going to be so greedy, they'll sue you for everything you've got. I'm telling you, greed has destroyed not just this nation, but the whole world. Greed has destroyed it. Covetousness has destroyed it. No wonder their children are cursed. Doctors, full of greed. I'm telling you, almost everything, everywhere you go, full of greed and covetous practices. Everywhere you go. It's not just lawyers. 99% of lawyers give the rest a bad name. No, it's 99% of auto mechanics that give the rest a bad name. It's 99% of doctors that give the rest a bad name. Let me tell you something. The world has demonstrated just how much they need to be saved from their sin. Amen. You need to be saved from your sin. I said Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This isn't a grossed out sick sinner saying this in the bottom of a dungeon somewhere, dying from some venereal disease. This is the Apostle Paul, who could honestly say that he was better than all of his contemporaries. That he had followed the law blameless from the time he was a very small youth. And yet he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you never considered how wicked you are, how sick, sin sick you are inside, how corrupt you are all the way from your very thoughts, your imaginations? God could look down on the earth in the days of Noah, and he said that he saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and he says that it was so wicked. He says every imagination of men was evil continually, all the time. God has shown you just how wicked and sinful you are. You need to be saved from your sin. And if you're too blind to see how wicked you are, then what hope do you have? You say, saved from what? Just look at yourself. Look at your life. Look at the arguments you have with your wife. Look at the problems you have in your church. Look at the problems you have in everywhere you go. You need to be saved from sin. Perhaps the most surprising, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Did you know you need to be saved from God? No. I know you think God's like Santa Claus. You think God's a big ho, ho, ho. You think he says, you know, if you're good, I'm going to treat you good. And if you're bad, I'll still treat you good. What is wrong with the world? Why would they want such a puppet God? Why would they want God you could put in a cage somewhere and go visit him once in a while? Why anybody would want to worship a God like that? You might as well step on it. If it's a God like that, just step on it and put it out of its misery. God is God. Have you ever considered the fury of holiness? Have you ever read your Bible to find out what it is, what it means when he says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven? Why don't you put yourself in their place? Why don't you think about all the little children that were screaming out, Mommy, I'm drowning in the flood? You say, I don't believe that. It could not possibly happen. It happened. The Bible says it happened. It happened just like it says it happened. Amen. And it's going to happen again. You say, no, I just don't believe God could do that. Have you ever looked at yourself? Have you ever considered how wretched you are? Have you ever considered how cursed your children are just for having you as a daddy or having you as a mama? Have you never been humbled? Have you never been broken? Have you never seen yourself as cursed, as wretched, as a worm, as worth nothing, having no dignity? Are you always going to be deceived by this Hollywood perception that you can handle yourself? You think you're Bruce Willis? You think you're Clint Eastwood? You think you can do all these things? Don't be a fool. You have to be saved even from the wrath of God. You need to be saved from the wrath of God. The greatest enemy of this world isn't the Russians. The greatest enemy of this world is not Democrats. The greatest enemy of this world is God. And I know that might surprise you because you think of God as love, but you've forgotten the fury of His holiness. You've forgotten the swearing. He swore and He could not repent. He swore He'll destroy all the sinners from the land. Have you forgotten? But let me tell you something. Peter stood up one day. He stood up to a group of people more or less like you, and he said, "You must be saved." Now why would he say that? You must be saved if there was no such thing as salvation. If there was no such thing as salvation. Yes, I'd love to tell you about the love of God. If you just humble yourself for once and realize you need to be saved. Oh, you need to be brokenhearted. God's not going to save you with that proud attitude, that high look, where you walk up and say, "Of course God loves me. Why wouldn't He love me? What do I need to be saved from? What danger am I in?" Don't be a fool. You need to be saved because God has decreed it. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man which He hath chosen. That's what He said. You need to be saved from God. Someday the wrath of God's going to come on this place. And I'm telling you, He says He'll send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie, so that they'll all be damned who believe not the truth. He'll send them strong delusion. You say, "I don't believe God would possibly deceive us." You haven't read your Bible much. God will deceive you. He'll make you think you're just as big and strong as you ever were all the way to the day you meet Him face to face. And then He says His vesture is going to be dipped in the blood of His enemies. You say, "No, I don't believe in your God." Okay, then you're believing in no God whatsoever, because this is the only God there is. This is the one that created everything. This is the one. This is the one that created this world in 6 days. This is the one that put 5 fingers on your hand so you could use it. This is the one that gave you a beautiful blue sky to look at and taste food. Did you know a whole fourth of your brain is used just to taste food? Ah, man, God is good. Just to smell and taste your food, God is good. He gives you a whole fourth of your brain just to be able to smell and taste your food. Let me tell you something, friend. You got to be saved from a God that created you in righteousness, and yet you have been deceived all this time. You have walked all by yourself all this time. You have deceived yourself. You've been deceived by the devil. You are a slave. You are confused. You are sinful and wretched and wicked, and you're stuck on this planet that's headed for a battle with God. You can't fight God and win. It's time now to surrender and humble yourself before Him. It's time now to say, "God, you're right, I'm wrong." You know how hard that is for people to do? Say, "God, you're right, I'm wrong." You say, "Well, I don't believe in hell." There you are, stiff-necked and stubborn all the way to the end until God points it out to you. There it is. I told you about it and you didn't believe me. You're so stubborn. You say, "Well, I don't think hell would be just." Well, then you're not the one that judges. I wish you were as smart as God, but if you were, you'd agree with Him. It's very simple to be saved. God expects you to humble yourself. He expects you to say, "You're right, Lord. I'm wrong. I've been wrong since I was little bitty. I was stupid when I was born, and I haven't done anything to improve my condition. I'm still stupid, and I'm still wrong, and I'm still filthy, and I'm still vile, and I'm a slave to my sin, and I'm a slave to my ignorance, and I'm a slave to the devil, and I'm a slave to my religion, and I'm a slave to all these things, and I want to be saved." Amen. That's what God is trying to get you to do right now. He wants you just to come to Him and say, "I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I want to be saved." Let's all stand and turn to number 249. Stand with me. Turn in your hymn books to number 249. You know, God is the one pleading with you. It's not just me. The truth is, I can tell you the honest truth because I don't want to lie to you and make you feel like I'm better than you. The truth is, if you don't get saved, I'm going to still go on my life in my merry way, and I'm going to praise God all the way, and I'm going to be happy. If you don't get saved, I know you'll walk away. I know I wish I loved you like God does, but I don't. I can at least tell you the truth. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to preach this. And God tells you right now, God is telling you, He wants you to be saved. He says you must be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to humble yourself and be saved. We're going to sing this song, number 249. We're going to sing this song, and if you want to be saved, You know what I want you to do? I just want you to humble yourself. Admit you're wrong in your own heart. And I want you to walk here forward and talk to one of the pastors right here in the front and tell him, I want to be saved. I want you to tell me how to be saved.